There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
It's 12:06. Welcome to FM Talk 106.5. Sean Sullivan is on vacation this week. I'm Jonathan McConnell. We have a great show lined up. We're talking about accountability. Someone in this country has to set the standard for accountability. In 2 hours, we're going to try to do that. Today is day 556 of President Donald Trump as president. There is no one in jail. The swamp is not drained. Well, not yet. And have we cut our spending at all? Well, no, not that either. We aren't going to solve the national issues or issues at the national level today. Our bandwidth on our radio broadcast isn't quite that big. However, we do have a large base in Alabama. The people of Alabama are being sold out by our politicians. I want you to walk with me on a story really quick. Every single bit of this is true, and I'll later tweet out the references for every single fact. So one day, an Alabama politician decided that the $46,257 a year was not quite enough. Mind you that the Alabama's median household income is $43,623. So he started several businesses and controlled a nonprofit all by himself. The politician would sell advertisements in a magazine to big corporations all throughout Alabama, and he didn't even publish some of these magazines. But he charged the companies anyway. He hosted galas and events just to sell the sponsorships. Selling access to other politicians, big corporations like AT&T, Alagasco, Brasfield & Gorey, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Regions Bank, and BorrowSmart, who wanted access to these politicians. While this politician served on the Alabama House Financial Services Committee, he was also paid by Regions Bank as a contractor, though that contract was confidential, and also he had a non-disclosure agreement that he couldn't even talk about who he was representing. He had to put his interest in the interest of Regions Bank above those of his clients. This politician literally had a corporation pay him to keep his constituents in the dark so that his client, the corporation, didn't have to pay for damages that they had caused to his constituency. The person I'm talking about is Alabama Representative Oliver Robinson. Oliver Robinson pleaded guilty to fraud, bribery, and tax evasion, and federal prosecutors this last week had him on the stand as he testified against a Drummond Corporation vice president and a former Balch and Bingham attorney. He had a foundation, which they paid in order to keep him and his constituents from allowing the Environmental Protection Agency to come in and test the soil of their property, which was poisoning them and their children. Robinson also served on the House Financial Services Committee, but yet he had a contract with Regions Bank that contained a conflict of interest and non-disclosure agreements. And his contract was, of course, to provide financial literacy courses in historically black colleges and disadvantaged communities. But do you think that there was no conflict of interest when he sat on that House Financial Services Committee? The galas that he sponsored had Alabama Power, AT&T of Alabama, Brasfield & Gorey, Blue Cross Blue Shield. All of them were beholden to him and just as he sold access to his fellow contemporaries. The magazine that he published was the Community Reinvestor. And he billed these companies, yet there were magazines that he didn't even publish. Of course, he collected the money on it anyway. So let's take another politician, for example, who had corporations draft emails for him, or lawyers draft emails for him, that he could send on behalf of the state of Alabama to the federal government. He literally copied and pasted letters into his letterhead to the federal government. Did he pay for these services? No. It was a donation of time and influence, and the interests of the corporation were put above the people of Alabama. And consequently, right after sending those documents, he was paid $50,000 by this corporation and yet has he served a single day in jail? No. That last person was former Attorney General Luther Strange. Luther Strange contracted with no one, actually. He was paid by Balch and Bingham's former attorney, Mr. Gilbert, and was paid $25,000 for each correspondence that he was sent, or at least that's what the donation amount was to his campaign, to send out an email or send out a letter as the Attorney General of Alabama to the EPA, reprimanding them and asking them not to put Northern Birmingham as a Superfund site. Yet no one is in jail for this. This past week, or last week, the trial in Birmingham against the Balch and Bingham former attorney and the Drummond Cole vice president, all of this came out. And yet our current attorney general is doing absolutely nothing about it. The federal prosecutor, Jay Towne, for the Northern District of Alabama, is doing nothing about it. He said that the only people that will be standing trial for this are the ones who are currently sitting behind the defendant's chairs right now. So this is going to go unsolved, but yet the people of Alabama are going to be the ones who pay the consequences for it. And later on, we're going to take some calls from people. We're also going to have several guests on after our break. And let me tell you, I called the Attorney General's office and asked for a statement from them and asked if the Attorney General would like to be a special guest for us today. The Attorney General's spokesman, Mike Lewis, said to me, well, the Attorney General is traveling today, and however, the AG would likely not like to discuss the trial because it is more of a federal issue. When asked about Gilbert writing the correspondence for the EPA to the EPA from former AG Luther Strange, Lewis said, well, that's more of a matter for the former Attorney General. So we don't seem to want to solve this problem. And this is the problem with people in Alabama and the lack of accountability that they're being held to. If Attorney General Marshall doesn't want to be held to it, then maybe we should find someone who will hold the feet of our politicians to the fire. Later on in this hour, we're going to have Joseph Siegelman, who's running for Attorney General in Alabama, and he'll be on the ballot this fall. And we'll see what he has to say and if he'll actually do anything about that. But I want to, we'll take calls in the bottom half of the hour, but where is the accountability in this country, in this state? You know, Dalton, I think that you and I were talking about this a few minutes ago, but we don't see it at all. You see it?
Not too often. And then with these last couple of weeks, these big trials that we've seen the conclusion of, it does seem like there in Alabama, there's been over at least the last few years when I've been paying attention, kind of a lot going on behind the scenes that isn't really up to par. But from what I've heard from others, it seems like it's been going on a very, very long time.
Yeah, it's been going on a very long time. And you know what's amazing about it, though? That the good thing is, and what has people's focus is, hey, guess what? Alabama's still number one in football, right? And so at least we're happy about that. But if we could expand the bandwidth of what we're talking about, to people in Alabama that, hey, there's more going on out there. You know, we've got people in Alabama that care more about what's going on with the Kardashians on a day-to-day basis as opposed to what's going on that's taking their taxpayers' money. Yeah, I can tell you right now that if my child's home, if my home where I live and my children were playing outside, or my child was playing outside, got the cutest little boy in the world, but if we were playing outside and that soil was poisoned, and yet I had a politician telling me, hey, Jonathan, you shouldn't have the EPA come, or you shouldn't have the EPA come in and test your soil because it's just the EPA. It's an overstretch of environmentalist, and I'm supposed to believe that person? And it'd be different if there was no conflict of interest and that person was just someone who doesn't exactly appreciate the government, kind of like me. But this guy was getting paid to do that. He got over $250,000 to do that and to say that. And that's insane.
Yeah, no, you want your politicians to be held accountable. And especially, like you just said, you have a young child, you got a boy, and you don't want anything bad to happen to him, especially when somebody that you've elected to lead your state, when they're not being held accountable, and they're actually not only not being held accountable, but they're doing things that could harm you or your family. It's not good at all.
No, it's not. Well, and I think, too, the issue I have with the AG Marshall's office is he doesn't even want to acknowledge this issue. He's like, hey, we're going to let that issue be, an issue of the former attorney general. Put some people in jail. I might would be more likely to reelect you if that was the case. But, it's the same concept of not wanting to debate. If the AG would have debated in the last election or would have debated in the primaries, mm-hmm. I would have considered supporting him. But I want someone who's going to be held accountable, and that's the first part. We'll be back after this break.
listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 12:20. Welcome back to FM Talk 106.5. I'm Jonathan McConnell. Sean Sullivan is conducting humanitarian efforts in Hawaii this week. He's in Kuna, Hawaii, saving all the fish from the volcanic waters out there. So good luck, Sean. We have a special guest today. Our guest today is running against Attorney General Steve Marshall, Joe Siegelman. Joe is an attorney out of Alabama. Joe, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here with you, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. So, Joe, can you tell us, why are you running for Attorney General?
Well, as you know, and as many of your listeners probably know, my father was in politics. He was governor, and I grew up, gaining an appreciation for what he chose to do, but never wanted to run for elected office. In fact, most of the decisions I made growing up through life were to direct me as far away from doing something like this as possible. But I view the Attorney General's office as different. I view it as a non-political, non-partisan office, because you don't make the law as Attorney General. You can't really change the law. You have limited opportunities to interpret the law. And so for that reason, I don't view it as entering politics, so to speak. I view it as offering yourself as an attorney and offering independence in that office, which I think it really needs.
Well, that's great, Joe. I appreciate it. Well, so talking a little bit about your father, obviously was a governor back in the 1990s and into 2000 a little bit. Prior to it, your father was convicted, and some people say wrongfully prosecuted, may or may not be. But do you think that is going to make you gun shy, or someone who's out with the vengeance to rid Alabama of corruption?
Well, to be honest, I think it makes me neither. I'm proud to be my father's son. One of my biggest challenges is I want the people of Alabama to get to know Joe. There are people who love my father, and I don't want them to vote for me solely because I am his son, and I want other people who may have a different opinion of my father to have an open mind when it comes to me. But we absolutely have an ethical crisis in this state. Within the last couple of years, we've seen the highest office holder in every branch of our government be removed from office, either because of illegal or unethical behavior. That is or should be intolerable to the people of this state. And there is a craving for independent and ethical leadership in every office. And I think it is most critically important in the Attorney General's office. And like I was saying before, I think because this office is one where you don't make the law, can't really change the law, and really, few opportunities to interpret the law, I think that it has to be independent, because in order to apply the law fairly, equally, and impartially, without that mindset of independence, you're just not going to be doing the job right.
And that's understandable, but I don't know if you were able to hear pipe in the first part of this segment. We talked about a little bit about Luther Strange and about how he had essentially copied and pasted correspondence that was written for him by one of the former Balch and Bingham attorneys, and sent that to the EPA. And of course, right after doing that, he received a $25,000 donation from Drummond Corporation. Clearly, there are some ethical issues there. I mean, do you see yourself pursuing that, prosecuting that and going after that corruption? Or, what do you see yourself doing in situations where politicians are using their office for financial gain?
So that information is troubling to me, and it should be troubling to your listeners. And the biggest problem that I see is we, as the people of Alabama, should, under every circumstance, be able to trust the decisions that come out of our government, but especially in the Attorney General's office. And the fact that we are even having to discuss this, that this is even a question, why wasn't he investigated or prosecuted? Another question, why wasn't this case, it was prosecuted by federal attorneys in Birmingham, why wasn't this case brought out of the Attorney General's office? I think that's a good question. And this backs up even further. You know, there's a question regarding my opponent who, and again, I want every vote that's cast for me to be for me and not against my opponent, but there's a question because my opponent was handpicked by Governor Bentley, and then his office, you know, gave basically a slap on the wrist to the former governor, and a lot of people are left scratching their heads. Well, that doesn't seem to make sense. Was there a deal struck in exchange for his appointment? And I'm not suggesting that there may have been, but the fact that those questions exist is truly problematic. We have got to have an attorney general's office where the people have faith in the decisions that are made, and somebody who does go into that office with the mindset of, you know, it doesn't matter whether you've got a D beside your name or an R beside your name, because to do that job right, you've got to be independent. And my goal as attorney general is that every single decision that is made out of that office, that those questions are eliminated, and that everybody understands that whatever decision is made, it is made solely because of the merit and not for any other reason. And that's a lingering question in a number of areas, and I believe that's a problem.
Well, Joe, I will say this, and one thing that you said was that you don't necessarily, you don't want vote casts against your opponent, that you want them all for you. That's great, but take as many votes as you can get, just judging from personal experience. I would lean towards that personally.
Well, I'm not gonna turn any votes away.
Yeah,
you're
that's the way to go. Just you know, hopefully you'll do well in the black belt, especially with some of the vote early, vote often, or maybe just vote early and vote early, since there were the turnout there, what in some of those states and what Washington counties and stuff like that was triple what the average was statewide. So, but I do wish you well and best of luck with everything in your race. And hopefully, we can have Attorney General Steve Marshall. You brought a great point up that should not have been brought by a federal prosecutor. That should have been brought by a state prosecutor. And in speaking with the Attorney General's office this morning, they seem to be very happy that it was in the federal hands and not in the state hands. Do you think there's anything that we could reform in regards to state ethics laws, Joe?
That's a good question. It's been a question that has come up a number of times. The bottom line is we need and must have strong ethics laws. There's no doubt about it. Like I said at the beginning of our conversation, we seem to be in the midst of an ethical crisis in this state, and we must have, for that reason, like I said, strong ethics laws. We also must have clear ethics laws. There needs to be an understanding that if you are a public official that violates or abuses public trust, you will be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. But they also need to know that there is a line, and if you cross it, that's it. We're coming after you. And so I don't believe that the current ethics law is there. You know, like I said, the attorney general doesn't make the law, can't change the law. And so I, as attorney general, would work with whatever laws the legislature gives me and make sure that we prosecute unethical and illegal behavior based on the laws we have. But I think there is certainly room for improvement. You know, the legislature recently created an economic developer exception, and I think that watered down the ethics law in a way that may not be helpful in bringing these prosecutions in the future. And so it's absolutely something that I would look at and want to work with the legislature on to make sure that our ethics laws are as strong as they can be and also clear.
Well, I think that's a great point. And, you know, I think about that in regards to texting and driving. You know, I've asked several law enforcement why in the world they don't ever enforce the texting and driving issue. And it's because the law specifically states that it's texting and driving, but the person can have the phone in their hand and be doing a lot of the things besides texting. And it's just it's an example of a bad law. And so I think that's where we should reform our laws and actually demand accountability from our state legislatures. Now, granted, asking our state legislature to pass a law that's going to regulate them and possibly put them in jail may be a little bit of a high task, since you've got Mickey Hammond. You've got recent indictment of Randy Davis. You've got, of course, Oliver Robinson.
And a lot of politicians, Jack Williams up out of Birmingham, all that are, have been indicted and are facing some ethics issues. And so I think that asking them to do that is going to be a little bit hard, but that's the accountability that's going to be demanded by the people of Alabama. And, you know, and Joe, I do hope that, you know, I hope that you do well in the election. I hope that you're able to get your message out there and that the people of Alabama are able to choose between you and Steve Marshall and decide on who the best man is for the job. Any parting thoughts or anything like that, Joe?
Well, first, John, and I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to carry my message to your listeners. And my campaign is about people, not politics. Like I said before, I firmly believe that for this office, the Attorney General's office, it should not matter because it cannot matter whether you've got a D or an R beside your name. You have got to be independent to apply the laws fairly, equally, and impartially, which is the most important part of that job. I look forward to continuing a campaign about people, not politics, and ultimately bringing that mindset and attitude into the Attorney General's office. And just once more, I appreciate the chance to be on with you, and I look forward to coming back on in the future.
All right, thanks, Joe Siegelman. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 12:36, and welcome back to FM Talk 106.5. I'm Jonathan McConnell. Sean Sullivan is on vacation this week, and I am lucky enough to take his spot. We were just reading some of the news that's come down for today, and Governor Ivey has told the sheriffs that it's time to stop keeping jail money, the jail food money, but the people must earn the trust of the people of Alabama. She says that by not collecting those fees is a way that the people of Alabama can improve the trust. And it's a change to bring a positive light to all those who serve in public office. I thought that was actually kind of ironic, Dalton, that she did that, because wouldn't you promote accountability and then wouldn't you earn the trust of people in Alabama by participating in a debate, which she seems to be so delightfully ducking from Walt Maddox?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing, a big topic. It's been a big topic on the morning show for weeks now, whether she should debate Maddox. But one thing we keep bringing up is it the smart political move to debate Maddox? Having the smart political move is one thing, but actually being accountable to the constituents, they're not exactly one and the same in this instance.
Yeah, I have a blanket rule that I will not vote for someone who does not debate.
Really?
If you're not going to, oh, absolutely, will not. And so whether that means I'm writing someone in or I'm voting third party, which I tend to do a lot, but I will not vote for someone who doesn't debate, because that's the accountability piece that we're all looking for. You know, it actually, while we're talking about that a second ago, that it gave me a great idea.
What's that?
So maybe the sheriffs should get a side job as consultants for the food suppliers, kind of like the state legislature does, right? And so if they're getting a consultant pay, then they can jack the food up to whatever they want. Because, I mean, that's kind of what the state legislature does, right?
Hey, that kind of makes sense.
You know, I'm going to start making wristbands right now, the WWLD, what would the legislature do?
Mm.
And that's probably what, of course, with that, we might would end up being like Roy Moore if we ended up being that.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's the exact opposite of WWJD.
Yeah, well, hey, don't you speak evil of Roy Moore now.
Dang.
Tell you what, it gets you tarred and feathered in this state sometimes by certain peoples. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. And speaking of Roy Moore, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen had him up, and there was a wonderful video online because he failed the pedophile detector test.
Oh, man.
And I don't know if you saw this, but it was one of the most amazing things I think that I've ever seen. Somehow or another, Roy Moore didn't pick up on this, and he went on to Cohen's TV show and was flown an all-expense-paid trip to D.C. to accept an award from the people of Israel for his support of Israel. And so Cohen posed as an Israeli anti-terrorism expert, Colonel Aaron Morad, and in doing so, he mentioned this new piece of technology, a device that detects hormones from pedophile sweat. And so he takes this device and goes in front of himself, and there was no beep. And then he does it in front of Roy Moore, and Roy Moore ends up it beep beeps on him.
Yeah.
And so and actually we'll take a call real quick.
Okay.
We have Sheriff Cochran on the phone. Sheriff Cochran.
Hey Jonathan, glad to hear you on here. I was telling Dalton whomever that I'm attending the sheriff's conference, and we broke for lunch, and I heard you on talking about the food fund, and I know it sounds awful the way that it's been portrayed for the sheriff collecting that money, but once again, the Sheriff's Association passed a resolution calling on the governor and the county commission and legislators to take the food fund away from the sheriffs, and as was done 9 years ago. But myself and 13 others, of course, don't participate because the county commissions have accepted that responsibility in Mobile.
Yes, sir. And Sheriff Cochran, I appreciate you calling in. And actually, we appreciate. I've known that about you for several years, that you did not collect the fund, collect money from that, and the county commission had taken that over. So I truly appreciate that. And yeah, you're right. You know, the people of Alabama don't understand that it's the state legislature that controls that money, and they could take that away, that responsibility away from the sheriffs. And Sheriff.
Yeah. So yeah, we're calling on the governor and legislature to take them out of it, to change the law.
Yes, sir. I know. I agree. And Sheriff, so you don't plan on becoming a consultant for the food industry?
No, I've got my plate full, and that's why I'm opposed to the way that law is. I think sheriffs should spend their time doing sheriff's work and not chasing beans and bacon.
No, I agree, sir. I wholeheartedly agree. Is there anything we can do for you here at the station in regards to, you know, supporting your officers out there? I will say this. You guys have a pretty tough go at it, and this station, I know, and the people listening really do believe that Blue Lives Matter, and we appreciate the sacrifice your people make every day.
I appreciate you, Jonathan, your sacrifices and what Sean does for us, and the listeners of this station have always been really supportive of law enforcement. They seem to understand, and that's why I enjoy a close association with 106.5.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, and we appreciate the call.
Have a great day.
You too. Well, it's not every day you get to talk to our wonderful sheriff. He's does a great job in Mobile County in keeping us safe. And you know, I need to remember him next time I get pulled over. I'm just kidding. I don't drive that fast, at least usually in Mobile. I try to keep it slower. But he's a great sheriff, and we are honored to have someone of his caliber in this state.
Yeah, and to reiterate, he had nothing to do with some of those scandals, some of the Sheriff's County scandals where, like that Etowah County Sheriff Todd Intrican pocketing that $750,000, buying a beach house, Sheriff Sam Cochran's name, about as far away from that as you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. And while I've never been a involuntary resident of the Mobile County Jail, I do understand that they're fed well. And I have gone down there and visited as an attorney when I was interning at the DA's office. And I will say it is a well-run place. I was blown away. The inmates there at the jail were orderly. And it was very surprising to me. And the officers there do a great job. I will say it's not an easy job. By any means, but they do a wonderful job, and you know, of course, our law enforcement as well. I mean, those what they deal with every single day. You know, my hat's off to them. All the respect in the world. I will say we'll get back into our story about the Cohen Show, Cohen Showtime. So to go back on what we were talking about, Cohen tells that Roy Moore. That he, you know, he flies him to Washington, D.C. on an all-expense-paid trip, and he poses as this anti-terrorism expert, Colonel Aaron Morad, and he's interviewing Moore, and he mentions this new piece of technology that they've got over in Israel because Israel's, you know, so technologically advanced, and this device that detects hormones that only pedophiles secrete through sweat. And so this enzyme or whatever called DDHT is whatever he calls it. So Cohen takes it and moves it up and down in front of his chest, just like it's a, you know, metal detector wand, and it's silent. And then he just kind of looks over at Moore, and you kind of see it on his eyes. He's like, okay. And then all of a sudden it's like, dee, 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 dee. And he's like, it must be broken, Cohen says. And so he puts it over himself again, then does it again. And he goes, did you borrow someone's jacket? And he's like, no, this is my jacket. And of course, you know, Moore goes into, I've been married for 33 years and I've never had an accusation of such things. And which is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
You're like, well, you've had an accusation. You actually admitted to going out with some of these girls and, you know, that you knew that they were, you know, later to find out they were 14 years old. That does make you a accused pedophile in my book. But, you know, it's, go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that was a false thing to say that he's never been accused of it. Now, if he said that he never did that, and So you have to, you can't say he's guilty of this, but he was accused of it. I think he actually came off better than I thought he would. I did not think he came off good, Roy Moore, in this segment. But when he tried to jump ahead of the story, when he knew that he'd been duped by Sacha Baron Cohen and put out the press release saying, you know, if this airs, we're suing because we had no idea what was going on, and we're going to sue Sacha Baron Cohen if this airs on Showtime. Well, by him trying to get ahead of the story, I assumed the worst. I thought that this would be the biggest dupe, and that Roy Moore would come out looking worse than he has before. But I was actually surprised in the 5-minute segment that aired, and Roy Moore, it was obvious that he thought something else was supposed to happen then. I'm surprised he didn't immediately stand up and walk out as soon as the word pedophile was mentioned in the room. And he sat there as Sacha Baron Cohen kind of messed with him with that travel wand looking
thing. He was curious. There could have been some 14-year-olds backstage that were going to come out and do a dance for him. Come on. So.
But, I mean, and I guess now we'll have to see if Roy Moore actually follows through with the threat that he would sue Sacha Baron Cohen. But one thing I think, you know, it seems like Sacha Baron Cohen's only going after a certain kind on some of these shows. He's only going after, and he did it really bad to that Georgia state representative and actually made him quit his job. He had to resign from the first episode of Who Is America that aired. But I think it would do Sacha Baron Cohen a service if he actually went after, you know, stripes of all, or political stripes of all color. You know, I think he should go after everybody. There's some Democrats he could be going after also.
Go after Podesta. Go after Hillary Clinton. I mean, I do think that, I mean, if you... you give yourself at least some credibility as a news agency or whatever you're going to be if you do go after both sides. I mean, I think that I truly believe that there's a lot of people in America that are the middle ground. And I think that we're missing, we get frustrated by Fox News because it's so far right. We get frustrated by MSNBC and CNN because, well, MSNBC and maybe CNN, I don't know, because it's so far left. But it's because we don't have a middle ground. We want someone who's going to attack both sides. I mean, I end up watching BBC half the time because at least, I mean, hey, at least then it's calm. It doesn't sound like that you're in the middle of some, you know, war zone every single time that, I don't know, like Donald Trump passes gas or something. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, the end of the world. But anyway, we'll talk to you back in 15 minutes.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. It's 12:52. Let's see if we can name a quote. That's what I love about high school girls. I get older and they stay the same age.
I know that one off the top. That's McConaughey.
Days I thought you were going to say Roy Moore.
Oh man!
Was Wooderson from Dazed and Confused, a great movie. But so with Roy Moore being in the headlines now, especially back with the Sacha Baron Cohen show, I think that it was right to at least bring back that quote. That's the first thing I think of whenever I think of Roy Moore. And just to think about it, he you know, at one point was our Supreme Court, or the head of, Chief Justice of our Supreme Court. You know, I do think that the Alabama GOP has a branding problem. You know, Roy Moore was their flag bearer for a while, and you know, and the ALG GOP got behind him. Elected officials got behind him, and you know, I think that they may be held accountable for that in November. And you know, I think they lost a generation. They lost a younger generation of people who just said, "Hey, listen, that's not who we're going to vote for. That's not the type of person we're going to vote for." And I think why we have Senator Doug Jones now. And I think that you know, that they may end up facing those consequences for quite a while. But you know, we'll take your calls. What do you think? 343-0106. You can text or call, and we'd be glad to talk to you about that. You know, but I think that's you know, that's an issue that will decide. You know, the people of Alabama are going to decide. They've got a governor who's, you know, doesn't match the you know, the demographic of the state. She's, you know, probably in her late 70s. You know, and you know, is not been elected yet as the governor in Alabama. you know, comes in as filling in from Lieutenant Governor, and yet you've got a young, energetic, you know, Democrat on the other side who's been a mayor in Tuscaloosa who doesn't have a lot of statewide name ID. But, you know, it could be interesting. I'm not saying that it will be. Personally, if I had to bet my money right now, it's going to be Kay Ivey. She's going to be our governor for the next 4 years. But, you know, if she doesn't debate, I'll be writing in Dalton for sure.
Well, you don't want to do that. We have gotten a text, or a few texts, but one here from Taxman regarding Kay Ivey, and you were talking about whether she should debate Maddox or not before this general election coming up. And Taxman says something that I think a lot of people back. He said Ivey runs on her record, doesn't need to debate that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can run her record. I think she's done a great job on her record. She has, but I still want you to, you know, be held accountable. And if the people of Alabama deserve the right to ask the questions, right? You know, hey, what are you doing to fix our state ethics laws? You know, the biggest question that I have in the state of Alabama is, why do we only have Blue Cross Blue Shield? You know, what happened to United Healthcare? They left us, right? So the biggest question as a small business owner that I have is, how are you going to make it easier for me as a small business owner to where we can increase interstate competition, bring in the Blue Cross Blue Shields, or bring in the United Healthcares, bring in the Cigna, bring in all these other insurance companies, make it easier for them to operate in the state? So that then, hey, maybe I'm not going to be paying $1,200 a year for health insurance for each one of my employees. You know, and so what is she doing for that? She's got a great record. You know, is the first thing she did was stop lobbyists from, well, actually, the first thing she did was fire her boss's ex-girlfriend's husband, I think. Maybe yeah. I'm doing that right. But then the second thing she did is she banned lobbyists from serving on boards and committees, you know, which is great. But you know, what is she doing about increasing state competition, you know, for our health insurance? That's the first question I would ask in every single debate. And, you know, I don't know if Walt Maddox has a plan, but, you know, that's a question I'd like asked. And I don't care what your record is. What's your vision looking forward?
And maybe, and this is awful because I'm no kind of like political consultant or anything, but I would say that if she were to debate Maddox, that would be, as far as risk reward for her, not for the people of Alabama, the people that are voting for, but for her, the risk is too high to stand on the stage with Walt Maddox, with how red Alabama is, and how just by keeping her nose clean over the last year and a half, 2 years, however long it's been, that's the best thing she could have done. But maybe after the election, if she wins, like the numbers are looking like right now, maybe she does like a free-for-all Q&A after that's somehow on some stations around Alabama, where she's able to lay out her plan and able to talk about some of the things she's wanting to do without that risk of, you know, slipping up or having an opponent that's really suave and able to say and able to debate well. Maybe that's the better move. I don't know.
But Dalton, you're right. I mean, the smart political move is not to debate. I'm tracking with you there. But the problem is that I'm a very risky person. I like risk. Through great risk is great reward, right? And so, I mean, that's the American way. The reason that our economy is insanely powerful is because we foster risk through the laws that we have. You know, the European Union doesn't have bankruptcy. You know, you own that debt for the rest of your life. But here in the United States, in order to foster entrepreneurship and stuff like that, we have bankruptcy here because we want people to take risk, because risk is what, you know, by taking more risk and encouraging risk, we're encouraging building of the our economy. You know, obviously it's a little bit of a bad thing whenever we encourage risk in the banking industry and we decide to, sell off all these tranches and stuff like that, and, you know, collateralized default swaps and all those things. But, you know, it's not a bad thing.
We do have a text in here, and maybe we can answer this, or you, not we, you can answer this after the break, since we're coming up on it right now. But Supermom texts in, "I'm with Jonathan. I will not vote for Ivey without a debate. Question, do you have any plans for another run in politics? Hope so." So maybe we can answer that on the other side.